Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go to our callers, a couple of thoughts about what is coming up right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast next week. And that is, I will be discussing a brand new book. It is number 5 now on Amazon. It's titled Love Wins. It's written by Rob Bell. And the back cover has one quote from the book. Rob Bell writes, God loves us. God offers us everlasting life by grace, freely, through no merit on our part. Unless you do not respond the right way, then God will torture you forever in hell. Huh? Close quote. And if you go on to read the book, as unfortunately many people will, you're not going to find full-blown universalism. But what you will find is the notion that it is a monstrous evil to suppose that one cannot make a decision for Christ after death. In other words, Orthodox Christianity has taught what Jesus Christ so clearly proclaimed. Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. According to this author, that simply is not the case. You can make a decision for Christ after you die because love wins. And again, to believe the inverse, to believe what Orthodox Christianity has taught throughout the ages is, well, a monstrous evil. And I'm not kidding about this. I'm not exaggerating this. I'm simply codifying what is communicated in this book. In fact, let me just read a few words, but again, I'm going to be dealing with this on the broadcast next week. Rob Bell writes this. Millions have been taught that if they don't believe, if they don't accept in the right way, that is, the way the person telling them the gospel goes, and they were hit by a car and died later that same day, God would have no choice but to punish them forever in conscious torment in hell. God would, in essence, become a fundamentally different being to them in that moment of death, a different being to them forever. A loving Heavenly Father who will go to extraordinary lengths to have a relationship with them would, in the blink of an eye, become a cruel, mean, vicious tormentor who would ensure that they had no escape from an endless future of agony. If there was an earthly father who was like that, we would call the authorities. If there was an actual human dad who was like that, that volatile, we would contact Child Protection Services immediately. Sounds like a quote from Obama. If God can switch gears like that, writes Rob Bell, switch entire modes of being that quickly, that raises a thousand questions about whether a being like this could ever be trusted, let alone be good. Loving, one moment, vicious, the next. Kind and compassionate, only to become cruel and relentless in the blink of an eye. Does God become someone totally different the moment you die? That kind of God is simply devastating, psychologically crushing. We can't bear it. No one can. I could go on, but I think you get the drift. If you, as a church leader or pastor or Christian, as a communicator of the gospel, say it is appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment, if you suggest by saying that, that you cannot change your mind after you die and be reconciled to God in eternity, if, like the great Orthodox sages throughout the centuries, you say that there will be some who will rise to everlasting life and some to everlasting condemnation, that Jesus Christ will separate the sheep and the goats. If you say that, in fact, if you suggest that Gandhi cannot yet be saved, then you are communicating an immoral, monstrous God. Well, is he right? Is that what Orthodox Christianity has done? Has he fairly judged the church? As a hipster who is now number 5 on Amazon, is he right? Is what he is saying true? I grant it is seductive. If you listen to the promos, which have gone viral on the web, if you read the book, it is seductive. I mean, you get buried under an avalanche of questions that he rises and he raises, and you wonder, maybe he's got an answer here. It is written in typical postmodern fashion. When you get done reading it, if you are not grounded, if you do not have discernment skills, you can fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. And this once again raises the ante for how significant it is for us as Christians to have discernment skills. Because trust me, there will be millions who fall for the ruse. There will be millions that buy it. It's seductive. We want to believe this. We want to think that Orthodoxy has been presenting a monstrous, evil, violent God that at the trip of a switch turns from nice to naughty. Well, even worse than that. From good to evil. It's a seductive message. It is communicated in a palatable fashion. It's easy to read. And if you don't have discernment skills, you will likely fall for the message. You will think this is hip and modern and sophisticated. Really, it's quite fundamentalist, to be frank with you. If you look at the way texts are abused in this book, it is sad, quite frankly. And we're going to be talking about this next week on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm going to take excerpts from this book, and we're going to learn discernment skills together. Because this is not an anomaly. Unfortunately, there are a host of new pastors who are leading large congregations into a quagmire, into believing that the Orthodox God, which has been proclaimed throughout the centuries by Christians who are willing to die for their faith, that that God is not the true God, that the new hipster God is the true God, and certainly he is more suitable for a kinder, gentler society in which we don't want to say that Hitler or Gandhi or anyone else, depending on where you find a person on the spectrum in society, is going to be separated from God for all eternity. Again, this is a matter that all of us need discernment skills in, and that is why we're going to take up this issue next week right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up today, Todd, listening on WTRU in Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Hank. My question is about the Book of Enoch. I hear about this book every now and again from different sources, and I know that there's a direct quote from the Book of Enoch in Jude 1, verse 14 and 15, and it's taken directly from Enoch verses 9. And I just want to pick your brain on the Book of Enoch. Why is it referenced in Jude, and does it give it any credibility?
Well, it does. It certainly gives the quote from the Book of Enoch credibility. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, according to Jude, about men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone. I don't think Rob Bell would like that particular quote. He is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And he goes on to define these evildoers. Now, that is a truth. And that truth is being communicated by Jude because it is truth in recognition that all truth is God's truth, wherever you find that truth.
But as for the statements about the watchers and I guess the fallen angels, having relations with the human women and everything, that I guess would fit in the category of apocryphal literature.
Well, for anyone communicating that, they would be communicating something that is not God's truth, because this is something that the Bible does not communicate. This is a perversion that is added to the Bible, not extracted from the Bible. And it usually goes back to Genesis chapter 6, where people read words univocally rather than equivocally. In other words, every single time they see a word or moniker or phrase, they pour the same meaning into that word, moniker, or phrase, which is not the right way to interpret Scripture. And as a result of that, they come out with an outcome that simply does not square with the whole of Scripture. In other words, another fundamentalist reading of the Bible, such that you come up with Greek mythology rather than Christian mythology, where demons are having sex with women, which is something that is not possible because demons do not have creative power. They can't create bodies. They can't create fertile sperm. Each kind biblically reproduces after its own kind, not one kind reproducing with another kind. This is an unbiblical idea. So the truth of the matter is you can read a book and find unbiblical ideas as well as biblical ideas. And the point for us is to say we need discernment skills so we can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. Now, the truth of the matter is Paul uses pagan poets to make his point. But Paul,
you could hear someone like a Louis Farrakhan make a true statement about something, but then reject the rest of his philosophy or doctrine.
Yeah, and we have to keep in mind here, as I was just about to say with respect to Paul, the fact that he's quoting pagan poets to make his point doesn't mean that he agrees with the pagan poets. Paul was not a pagan. However, when we're talking about the book of Enoch, we have to recognize that this was a well-respected book in New Testament times. It was an intertestamental book. It was pseudepigraphal. In other words, it had an author other than the seventh in the line from Adam, Enoch. Enoch didn't write it, but it still was highly respected because of what it did communicate and therefore worthy to quote from. So what is extracted from the book of Enoch is true, and therefore it is communicated as true and now is part of the inspired text, and therefore we can trust the quotation. At least that quotation is true, verifiable, and does correspond to reality. And that's what truth is. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. More of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We do what we do because truth matters. Be right back.
Learn to defend your faith with reason and precision. Order On Guard by renowned scholar William Lane Craig. On Guard is a one-stop how to defend your faith manual that will equip you to advance faith conversations deliberately, applying straightforward, cool-headed arguments. You'll discover not just what you believe, but why you believe, and how being on guard with the truth has the power to change lives forever. Order On Guard from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Set sail into the beauty of Alaska on CRI's 2011 Alaskan Cruise. Join Hank Hanegraaff, Steve Camp, and Elliot Miller for the experience of a lifetime.
Hi, this is Elliot Miller, the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Last year, I was able to join many listeners to the Bible Answer Man as we did a Caribbean cruise. The fellowship that we had, the prayer, the Bible study, the worship, it was truly a family experience. The opportunity to hear Hank Hanegraaff teaching on a daily basis and Steve Camp ministering both through teaching and song is something that you just can't get anywhere else. So I invite you to go to equip.org and read all about the cruise and join us this June.
To register, call Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The study of human nature is one of perennial interest, raising many questions that are important to a Christian worldview. The contemporary movement of transhumanism views human nature as totally free, even to the altering of its very essence. Sociobiologists, on the other hand, hold that human behavior is determined and free will is an illusion. To a society torn between two extremes, the Bible offers a sensible corrective that affirms real freedom within real limits. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal and learn more in John S. Hammett's article entitled Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism, A Christian View of Human Nature. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast now with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go right back to our callers. Talk next to Charles. He's listening on Bot Radio in Fresno, California. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
Hi.
My question for you is, I don't know if I heard correctly, but you were saying something about the book where they were saying something along the lines of you can get saved after you die.
Yeah.
But the Bible tells us clearly that when you die, whether you go to heaven or hell, that's already been decided. So where are they getting this that after you die, you still have a chance to go somewhere else?
Well, that's the point. And that's the point that I'm going to be dealing with on the broadcast next week. The author, Rob Bell of Love Wins, which is now number 5 on Amazon, is saying that, yes, you do have an opportunity to embrace Jesus Christ in the afterlife, and to believe otherwise is a monstrous evil. It is believing in a God who is a moral monster. So to suggest that we have to make the choice in this lifetime, based on the light we have from creation, from conscience, which ultimately leads us to Christ, to believe that we have to make that decision in this lifetime as opposed to being able to make that decision in the life to come, to believe that is a monstrous evil, and to communicate that is to communicate a God who is not worthy of our love and respect.
Right.
That is the point.
I was wondering, I heard on the commercial that there was a way that I could get the Bible Answer Man, some kind of magazine or something. How would I go about that?
Yeah, you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. The best way to do that is online at equip.org. You can also hang on. Someone will help you subscribe in just a moment. For everybody else, you can do so via the mail as well. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. By the way, if someone wants to know where Rob Bell is coming from, here's another example. This is not part of his current book, but this is how he thinks. He says this: if Jesus had a real earthly biological father named Larry, and archaeologists find Larry's tomb and do DNA samples and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the virgin birth was really just a bit of mythologizing the gospel writers threw in to appeal to followers of Mithra, we would essentially not lose any significant part of our faith because it is more about how we live. So he's not overtly denying the virgin birth, but he's saying that there is no real theological significance to the virgin birth. Which is to say this: he is communicating to his masses, his devotees, his constituency, that it wouldn't make any difference if Mary was a sexually sinful woman who conceived Jesus illegitimately. Wouldn't matter whatsoever, because it's all about how we live. Of course, if the virgin conception were untrue, the ramifications are myriad. Not only would Mary be sexually promiscuous, but then the story of Jesus would change in dramatic fashion. We'd have a sexually promiscuous woman lying about God's miraculous hand in the birth of her son, raising that son to declare that he is God, and then joining his religion. If we are willing to disbelieve the virginal conception, we are flatly saying that Scripture may well contain mistakes. Worse than that, outright lies. So this is just a little glimpse into the mind and theology of Rob Bell. And again, his message sounds good. It's being swallowed by the masses, but it is not good. It is dangerous. And because he has such a grasp of social media, because he is such a, and you have to give him this, he is a masterful marketer. He's been able to sell his message, a message that runs directly contra biblical theology. In fact, orthodoxy for which the martyrs shed their blood. And he's not doing this in some nice fashion, as I just quoted from his book. To disbelieve him means to communicate a monstrous God. And what good human being would ever do such a thing? In other words, he really puts the onus on those that communicate, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. No second chance after death." If you say that, well, quite frankly, I would think, in his view, you yourself would be a moral monster, because you're communicating a God that's a moral monster against what he believes are the clear teachings of Scripture. The implications of his teachings are dramatic. He, I had to really wrestle with whether I'd make an issue out of this, because all I'm doing, in essence, by bringing this up is further promoting his book. The controversy is what sells. But I think this has to be dealt with, because we live in an age in which people simply cannot discern. That's why we're a discernment ministry, to help you think through these things, because you're going to not only encounter them here, you're going to encounter them in other books. I think number one right now on the New York Times best-selling list is a book of another after-death experience. And when you read that book, you get a completely flawed view of what the Bible actually communicates by its language. In other words, you learn how to read literalistically as opposed to reading literature. The Bible's inspired literature, but it is literature nonetheless, and therefore we have to, as believers, understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. So with this very popular book, which is now number one on near-death experiences and chronicling a near-death experience, again, you have to take that subjective experience and test it. Test it in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. And to test it in light of Scripture means that you learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. By the way, I have a little flip chart that teaches you how to do that. Memorable keys to understanding what God has said, lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. The question is this: if God has spoken, what has God said? You can master the principles of biblical interpretation in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. It's a memorable guide to the art and science of biblical interpretation. You can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to David, listening on XM 170 in Pennsylvania. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. I'm just driving, trying to get around Chicago here, heading west, so I'll ask a question and get off the phone. Earlier today, I listened to Glenn Beck, who I tune in and out of here occasionally. My son's a big fan and a new Christian, and I've suggested to him that sometimes we've got to be on our toes from a discernment standpoint there. And today, during his show, he said he was Mormon earlier in the show, and probably 5 or 10 minutes later, he also said he was Christian. And I wonder if you can explain how you could be both at the same time. I'm aware of the significant theological and doctrinal differences, but perhaps you can highlight them for us, please.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair question, and Glenn Beck is a Mormon, and unfortunately, he thinks that somehow or other you can harmonize Mormonism with Christianity. Now, I can't absolutely tell you that he really believes that or he doesn't really believe that, because I am not in a position to judge his motives. I'm only in a position to judge what he says. But I can tell you this, that you cannot harmonize Mormonism with Christianity. Joseph Smith himself made that clear. Joseph Smith claimed all existing churches were wrong, all their creeds were an abomination, all their professors were corrupt, and according to the personages that he says appeared to him back in 1820 or around that time, Smith was chosen by God to restore, not reform, but restore a church that had disappeared from the face of the earth. And the Mormon doctrines that evolved from that vision compromise, confuse, or outright contradict the nature of God, the authority of Scripture, and the way of salvation. I mean, according to Mormonism, it is not the Bible, but the Book of Mormon that is the most correct of any book on earth, and is the keystone to their religion. Well, you can't harmonize that with Christianity, because the Book of Mormon has been utterly discredited by both anthropology and archaeology. You can, however, make that claim for the Bible. The Bible demonstrates itself to be rooted in history and evidence. In other words, what was once concealed in the soil corroborates that which is revealed in the Scripture. So in the one case, the archaeologist Spade confirms the biblical text. In the other, demonstrates that Mormonism is simply, it's simply an illusion, a distortion of truth. A distortion of truth in which the founder of Mormonism teaches that God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. A distortion of truth in which you believe in a plurality of gods and contend as man is, God once was, and as God is, man may become. This is not something that is Christian. This flies in the face of the Christian ethic. I've written about this in a lot of different forums, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. We'll be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter.
When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment. Do you worry that someone will ask you a question about your faith that you can't answer? Have you tried to defend your faith but gotten lost in confusing language and theology? Do you struggle with times of spiritual doubt yourself? On Guard by William Lane Craig is a one-stop how to defend your faith manual that will equip you to advance faith conversations deliberately, applying straightforward, cool-headed arguments. You'll discover not just what you believe, but why you believe, and how being on guard with the truth has the power to change lives forever. Learn to defend your faith with reason and precision. Order On Guard from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled, Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom. Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Conformed to the culture, or are you an ambassador for Christ? As Christians, we're called to be in the world while refusing to be of it. Dick Staub's book, The Culturally Savvy Christian, skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and his disciples did. In appreciation for your gift this month, we'd like to send you The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub. Contact us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Tad listening in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Tad.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I want your comment about the Harry Kemp, about the, say, May 21, the judgment. What kind of judgment is that? What is he trying to say about that?
Well, we've dealt with this a number of times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I suppose it bears repeating in that the day is approaching rapidly, according to Harold Camping. The day, May 21st, 2011, the day of God's judgment, is just 49 days away. We began a countdown on the World Wide Web at equip.org a long time ago, where there are about 200 or more days left. And we promised you that he would once again be found to be a false prophet.
Prophet, yep.
What's that?
Yeah, a false prophet, yep.
Yeah, he's a false prophet. And part of the problem here is he does not know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And if you don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, you're going to find out that you're going to fall for these kinds of false prophets.
Yeah, and the Bible talk about before the rapture and then the tribulation and the men of the sin have to appear. And even Christ, when he was in here on earth, and say, the Son of Man doesn't know the hour and the day, how come God, if not revealed to his Son, well, because he know everything, but when he was on earth, he proclaimed even the Son of Man cannot know the hour and the day. And how come God will reveal a sinful man like Harry Kemp the day and the hour, and never reveal to any other, even his Son?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't use those exact texts to make the point, but I think your point is correct. It is true. We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to return. We only know that he is going to appear a second time. We are promised that in Scripture. And in the meantime, we are called to occupy, to be fruitful and faithful, and to occupy. And here's the thing that strikes me. I mentioned this week that I was last week in China. And in China, I see so many authentic New Testament Christians. They're authentically communicating the gospel once for all delivered to the saints. And they are harvesting fruit. The fields are genuinely white unto harvest, and they are harvesting fruit. I come back to America, and I see the sensationalists, the hipsters, communicating another gospel, another message. And they're becoming more and more popular. But what's happening to the church? It's dying because of lack of discernment. If we have any discernment whatsoever, we recognize immediately that Harold Camping is distorting the plain meaning of the biblical text in order to come up with yet another date. And this isn't his first rodeo. He's done this before. September 6, 1994. That was supposed to be the end. He said, when that day arrives, no one else can be saved. The end has come. Well, 1994, 2004, 2011, what is that, 17 years? 17 years later, he comes up with another ruse. And once again, we're going to find out that people have short memories. The day will come and go. And a few years later, we'll have another story. We'll have another date. Perhaps this date set by the Mayan calendar is what you find with Jack Van Impe. The date setters continue to proliferate and people continue to fall. Why? Lack of discernment. I want to make one point here. What I'm doing on the broadcast today is not popular. It's not where you get a platform. People don't want to hear this. In evidence, you have the one fundamentalist reading of Scripture by Rob Bell. On the other hand, you have another fundamentalist kind of reading of Scripture by Harold Camping. They both come at the text in the wrong way. The text abuse in Rob Bell's book is simply mind-blowing. but so is the text abuse of Harold Camping. One comes to the premise that he can tell you the day and the hour that Jesus Christ is going to come in judgment. And the other comes to the conclusion on the basis of a fundamentalist reading of Scripture, albeit in hip fashion, comes to the conclusion that we can be saved after we die. And he very cleverly communicates the message so that a lot of people have taken the bait and they're screaming universalism, but he's got a qualifier in his book. So people are off on a wrong rabbit trail and they're arguing something that he can defend. They're missing the real point. But that, again, is clever 21st century media-driven communication, marketing, whereby people miss the real point. The real point is this, for the audience listening right now. Discernment, discernment, discernment. Because this won't be the first time, this won't be the last time. That's why I went back to some of Rob Bell's old writings and teachings about the virgin birth. It's not the first time. This is an ongoing theme. The lie gets packaged and repackaged ad nauseum, ad infinitum. And we'll take a big bite out of the apple unless we know how to discern. So it's up to you. And it's not just for you. You have a sphere of influence. Maybe it's a family member. I have family members who are biblical believers who have a hard time seeing through the subterfuge. I'm not saying it's easy. Nothing worthwhile comes easy. I think it's about time that we as America, and particularly American Christians, put down popular books and stopped watching popular television programs and learned first discernment skills. It takes some elbow grease. It takes some work. It takes some dedication. It takes some discipline. But what are you living for? Are you living for mean earthly vanities or are you living for eternal verities? That's ultimately the question. During this show, thousands of people around the world have died. Just during the time that I've been on the air. Is Rob Bell right? Is there a second chance after death? Am I proclaiming, as he would put it, a God that does not have any right to be worshipped? A God that is unworthy, a monster? A God that turns like a Jekyll and Hyde, from good to evil in a millisecond. Again, we're going to be talking about that on Monday's edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast. In fact, we'll be dealing bit by bit with this book to teach you discernment skills. But again, this is not something that wins you a popularity contest, but it is necessary. And so we're going to continue to do it. As far as Harold Camping and Judgment Day is concerned, that's going to be an easy one to prove. May 21st is not that far away, 49 days, and we're going to find out once again that he was wrong. But you can know that without the peradventure of a doubt today. And for those who have called me and are so uptight that they're considering suicide, don't. Do not be unnerved by a false prophet. We have the true word of prophecy. It's available in America. You can go to any bookstore and buy it. It's the holy word of God. Then learn how to read it. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Monica, listening on Bot Radio, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Monica.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for talking to me.
You're welcome.
I actually talked to you a couple days ago on the same regarding forgiveness, a prominent thing in my life right now, I guess. I was wondering what kind of scriptural reference you could maybe refer me to, just to know if you've forgiven, and like maybe the process. I don't know if there's, I guess I would appreciate whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to always go back to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, and I'm quoting John here, 1 John, where John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. It's not something you have to wonder about. You can know that you have eternal life. And the message of Scripture is clear. How do you know that? Well, if you realize that you are a sinner, if you are willing to repent of that sin, if you are willing to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, then you have everlasting life. And it's not based on your feeling, it's based on His promise. You can know for certain that you have been forgiven based on His promise. And the point is that people make promises, and those promises often fail. But God, when He makes a promise that will, that can never fail. So God is saying that if you believe on the name of the Son of God, you have everlasting life. So if you can say today, Monica, I realize I'm a sinner, I repent of my sin, which means that you are willing to do it His way rather than doing it your own way. And if you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, no longer trusting in what you can do, but trusting in what He has done for you, recognizing that the gospel is not what you do, but what He has done. And then after you receive what He has done, you live a good life, not to get something, but in gratitude for what you already have, then you have everlasting life. And the relationship that you have with God now will only continue to grow throughout your life, and not only grow throughout your life, but grow throughout all eternity. That's your hope. That's the promise of Scripture. Hang on. We can give you further information to fortify your faith in this inviolate truth of the eternal, everlasting Word of God. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-274, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study in answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime.
Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.